Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
The Match Ball.
Hello there and welcome to the Match Ball 30 brought to you by Levi Solicitors. You can get 10% off your legal fees if you get to levisolicitors.co.uk/thesquareball. I'm Dan Moylan. Hello. With me, Michael Normanton.
Hello.
Moscow White. Daniel Chapman.
Hello.
1st of December 1990 today and Leeds United undefeated since the 20th of October. Things going pretty well at the minute. Draw to Aston Villa, win against Forest at home, Man City away, Derby at home, and that draw at Highfield Road last time out at the back end of November. And today is Southampton arriving at Elland Road and nearly 30,000 people in the house to witness this one.
We're not going down, are we? Which is good.
And everybody's excited to see the return of Mickey Adams, sold by Howard Wilkinson, but excited to have him back.
Those lineups then, some very familiar names in these lineups. For Leeds, John Lukic, Mel Sterland, Chris Fairclough, Chris White, Peter Haddock making up the back four. And then we've got Gordon Strachan, Gary Mack, Gary Speed and David Batty, the famous four across midfield, with Carl Schutt and Lee Chapman up front with Andy Williams and John Pearson on the bench. For Southampton, Tim Flowers in goal, who was very good. Neil Ruddock, Mickey Adams, former Leeds player, Russell Osman, Alexei Cherednik, Barry Horn, hard bastard, Glenn Cockerell, Jimmy Case, Matt Letizia, Paul Rideau, Alan Shearer, and on the bench, Rod Wallace and somebody else.
Yeah, I couldn't track down who the other substitute was.
Francis Benali.
Oh, was it?
I discovered. I thought he played every single game for Southampton for about 20 years, so I don't know why he's not in the team.
He'll have lost his place to Alexei Cherednik, who I think was the first player from the Soviet Union to play in the first division.
But we've spoken about all these communists before. Remember we had that was the QPR goalkeeper. He was a communist, wasn't he?
The Czechoslovakian one, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, they're gradually infiltrating the top league.
And this one we set off at quite the pace. 2-0 up inside 10 minutes.
Game one. Easy. Easy, this first division football arc.
Should the first goal have counted?
Yes, absolutely. So this one is a Chris Fairclough header. So let's set it up. How is it set up, first of all?
White puts a long ball down the right-hand side, heads it to McAllister, who does a delightful little skip past the defender, chips it to the back post, and no one has spotted that Chris Fairclough is there, sneaking in behind Lee Chapman.
From that position, you think he should be heading it back across goal, don't you? It looks like he's going to head it back to Lee Chapman to just nod in from like a yard out in prime Chapman territory, but actually Chris Fairclough directs it straight towards goal, but it hits Tim Flowers.
Straight into the goal, according to the linesman.
Long way, all the way into the... Over the line and everything.
The goal line technology, i.e. the pair of eyes on the far touchline, said it was in. So I'm prepared to go with that because it benefited us and nobody else.
I mean, as if this ball is over the line.
It doesn't look like it.
There's not a chance in hell.
Even from a front-on angle, it doesn't look like it, does it?
I don't think anyone would have necessarily even appealed, but they seem to give it without anyone even asking for it almost. If this was mundane, they did that thing where it stops on the line. It's stopping almost entirely in front of the line, I think, is this one. I just don't think... No part of Tim Flowers is behind the line, so I don't really understand how it's been given. But I think it was a lead we deserved, all the same.
After, what was it, about 3 minutes or something?
Oh, it'd been coming.
And then straight after that, Carl Schutt, again, very much justifying his place and the fact that he's offering that little bit more up front alongside Lee Chapman.
Classic training ground stuff, this. I imagine Wilco making him do this about 200 times during the week. Nice long throw, flick on, shut volleys in. A good solid Wilkinson goal.
It's your classic near post backwards header, isn't it? The sort of thing that they used to teach kids out of textbooks in the 1980s.
It's Mel Sterland with the throw and Chris White with the flick on. And as you say, I'm sure they've done this hundreds, if not thousands of times on the training ground. And works a charm. And there we are, 10 minutes played, 2-0 up, Chris Fairclough, Carl Schupp, all good. We're good, this Leeds team.
We are good, and we're going to win it. Probably not. Mind you, Liverpool are still undefeated, aren't they, at this point? But it's nice to see us making such great progress. And it wasn't that solid in the second half, though, despite the bright start.
No, there were a couple of problems. We'd played QPR in midweek in the League Cup, and Gordon Strachan had gone off near the end with a calf strain, and there was some talk about whether he would make this match. And Harold Wilkinson was quite open afterwards. He said he shouldn't have played, he wasn't fit enough, but he said a half-fit Gordon Strachan is better than no Gordon Strachan, so he picked him anyway. And Don Waters, before the game, the Yorkshire Evening Post's Phil Hay of the day, was, or Graham Smith, him.
Poor Graham.
Always forget, poor old Graham exists. had pointed out that before this Southampton game, Gordon Strachan, since signing, had played 7,340 out of 7,380 possible minutes for Leeds United. He'd missed 40 minutes of football since signing in March 1989, which is incredible for somebody who's just about to turn, or just had turned, 34 years old, and Alex Ferguson basically thought was finished.
I've just done the maths on that. This is prime Matthias Klich territory. That's 82 games, and he's only missed, what, 40 minutes of that? Wow. That's a lot of games.
But it did start to show that we weren't as good in the rest of the game. And McAllister injured a thigh in a tackle. I can't remember who's tackled him, but there's some strong old players in that Southampton team. I know they have Matt Letizier, who is all the sass, and Rodney Wallace to come off the bench. But Neil Razor Ruddock, Barry Horn, as Michael says, just basically a thug. Glenn Cockerell and Jimmy Case, both in the 50s, just still playing the football of 1964.
I can't accept Ruddock for Southampton. I don't know why. It completely bypassed me that he played for them at all, and he played loads of games for them. I just think of him as Spurs and Liverpool, and then West Ham, and not being able to fit into some Swindon shorts.
They had a decent set of young players. Tim Flowers is a young man at this point.
Do you know what? I was desperate for us to sign him at some point. I loved Tim Flowers.
He was no Nigel Martin, though, was he?
No, I mean, we got Nigel in the end, but Tim Flowers, it was my secret crush, you know, the one that you're not allowed to admit that you like from another club.
And then Matt Letizier is a good young player.
Can't see him keeping hold of him, to be honest. He'll be off somewhere soon, won't he?
Alan Shearer was, you know, he's coming in as a striker. Rod Wallace, and they already had, Danny Wallace had gone to Scum, but I see him, Ray Wallace was only just missed out on selection for this game. So that's a good core of exciting young players, but unfortunately for Southampton, they did tend to just surround them with, yeah, the combined ages of Russell Osman, Glenn Cockerell and Jimmy Case. Old, old men.
And words that will send terror into the hearts of many Leeds fans. There's a ball forwards into the Leeds area 5 minutes into the second half, and you see Alan Shearer rise and miss it, and it goes onto the head of Paul Rideout instead, who tucks it in. But Shearer would pick it up in years to come.
For some reason, no one seems to have bothered standing anywhere near Paul Rideout when this goes in. He's got about 20 yards of space to himself in the box. I assume he's broken some sort of offside trap to do this.
The second half did become difficult after that. We relied on John Lukic to keep us ahead in this game, and he ends up, the England B squad had been announced, but it had about 70 players in it at this point. And after this performance, Laurie McMenemy had been at QPR in midweek to watch Mel Sterling, David Batty and John Lukic, and all three of them made the cut. But Strachan is adamant after
Strachan
the game.
Strachan didn't make the cut then for the England B team?
He did not, but he did say after the game that Lukic should just be in the A team. He said he's the best in the country now, and Wilkinson praised him for this one as well. He said, John has got the knack of appearing to do it the lazy way, being where the ball is without any histrionics.
Well, these fancy foreigners diving around and punching it.
England B games, by the way, used to be a thing. Not anymore, are they?
Yeah, people may not remember that there used to be a whole subclass of international fixtures that were actually very popular. You'd get big attendances and things would ride on them. And yeah, so we'll deal with their trip out to Algeria for that game when it comes up. But he is responsible for anyone as keeping us 2-1 ahead after what Wilkinson ended up describing overall as one of the scratchiest performances of the season.
Never happy, is he? Despite it being the fourth win in five and we've been undefeated for about a month and a half.
And this is a classic Howard Wilkinson Leeds performance that we fine-tuned in the second division and have carried on in the first division, where we just batter them in the first 10-15 minutes of the game And then we've got something to defend. Their manager, Chris Nicol, said that they were ready for that. He said, although we were ready, we couldn't handle it in the first 15 minutes. The crowd and atmosphere seemed to frighten us. We lost the game in those early minutes. And that's what we used to do at Elland Road. Batter them straight from kickoff, score as many goals as we could, and then we're done.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And as we mentioned before there, we're on a generally good run overall because we're through to the quarterfinal of the League Cup because we did thump QPR 3-0 down at Loftus Road. And we've got Villa at Elland Road in the next round.
Rumbelows Cup, please. Let's use the sponsors' names.
What is Rumbelows for the benefit of the 2020 audience?
You could rent a television from them.
And washing machines, I believe.
Yeah, basically all the stuff that they've just stuck on the side of the East Stand today as we record that. So that makes it just look like a branch of Rumbelows circa 1990. Yeah, you go in and get
Your white goods.
Your white goods on hire purchase.
I'm a radio rental man myself.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's the sort of thing back when, if you were a student, you would cobble together with your mates to rent something, wouldn't you? Rather than these days where it's only like a couple of hundred quid for a washer, isn't it? Or your landlord will stick one in, but... Ah, happy days, happy days.
England B internationals, Rumbelows, wasn't it? Jumping to a goalpost.
Asbestos.
And we're going to Wembley.
We are. We're with a good shout, to be fair.
And there was a lot of money in the competition and also possibly a route to Europe, which is why it had Bill Fotherby's attention. And we beat QPR. Obviously, there was some worry after being lost to them in the league. Roy Weggerly is being described at this point as certain for international honours with England.
Hang on a second. Isn't he either South African and or American?
Well,
that's what we established.
We weren't going to let that stop Graham Taylor from picking him.
Mind you, Tony DiRigo is going to get a game soon and he's Australian. So
we kept him very quiet in this match, though, and QPR have been absolutely terrible since beating us. So we just did to them what we did to Southampton. 3-0 up by 20 minutes, game done. And McAllister only took 2 minutes to score one of the absolute classic McAllister goals.
This is a spectacular goal. Utterly spectacular. He breaks with such pace from midfield and he absolutely twats it. And in fact, talking about that communist in nets wasn't happy, was he?
Didn't get anywhere near it, did he? Another victory for the West.
And if you see him in the wake of this, just as he sort of picks himself up off the floor or whatever, he looks sideways. I don't know if he's looking at the linesman. I mean, you could call him linesman back then as well, couldn't you? 1990, eh? And he looks across at the linesman as if to say, something's got to be wrong with this, or whatever fancy foreign language he speaks.
No blasters. We said no blasters.
There's a nice bit from Don Waters in the YEP about that goal. He says, we hadn't seen it much from McAllister, but those of us who have been observing him at Elland Road know that he can kick a football very hard.
It sounds like it's straight out of your coaching manual, that, Michael.
And he proved it with this goal. It's a great one. It's out there on the YouTube, but it's not on the end of season video because it's just early rounds of the League Cup. So it's kind of a bit of a lost classic from Gary McAllister, that one. And it's worth knowing that the following goals, Chris Fairclough making it 2 on 40 minutes, then 5 minutes later, Lee Chapman, similar to Fairclough's goal against Southampton, Kenny Sanson headed it back out, but the linesman said it was over the line. That will do. And that was, Chapman then had 6 goals in 6 consecutive games, and one more, if he had scored against Southampton, would have equaled Peter Lorimer and John McColl's post-war Leeds United record. He couldn't quite do it. And Chris Fairclough having made that mistake against Coventry last week. 2 goals in 2 games. So he's turned that around. And yeah, Don Howe, similar to Chris Nichols, kind of just nothing you can really do about us at this point. He just says, he says, we knew Leeds would play it like that. They play powerhouse football and it is good stuff at times. Very exciting. And it's hard not to think of the way people talk about Leeds United under Marcelo Bielsa now, where they say it's the football they play is so powerful. They blow us away. We can't keep up with them.
And developments at the top end of the table, which we are starting to cement ourselves into that sort of top 4 or 5 now. Just having a look at the results from across the day and the big clash that weekend, apart from we had Chelsea against Spurs, which finished 3-2. Arsenal against Liverpool, the big match that was on Sunday afternoon. You'll remember both Arsenal and Liverpool at this point undefeated and running away with this division to some extent. Arsenal 3, Liverpool 0, inflicting Liverpool's first defeat of the season, meaning that Liverpool do remain top on 38 points, having played 15, won 12 of them, drawn 2, and finally lost 1. Scored 32 goals, but conceded 12 now, with a goal difference of 20. But this is where it starts to get interesting at the top, with Arsenal now having claimed those 3 points back on them, the proverbial 6-pointer. They are now just tucked in behind them with 11 wins, 4 draws, and still no defeats, with goals 4-30 and against just the 6. George Graham there, by any chance, in operation at Highbury, and better goal difference of 24, and just a point there behind Liverpool.
You'd still have to think Liverpool will go on and win it, though.
Oh, of course they will. After that strong start, of course they will. Palace, though, in third on 30 points, so 7 points behind Arsenal. Spurs just behind them on 29, but then Leeds 26 points. So just hanging on to the coattails of Spurs there within one game of them. And some teams from Manchester just behind us on 24 and 23 points.
It does show how it's shaping up to be a bit of a two-horse race when Crystal Palace, bless them, they've only lost once. And a 7 points behind second. It's hard to see who's going to get involved with Liverpool and Arsenal at the top. But if there is going to be a European place for third, we're not bad placed for taking that off Crystal Palace if we can't qualify through the Rumbelows Cup. And that's the big target. European football is a massive deal.
4 wins in 5. We're on for it. And it also means that Wilco is named Manager of the Month for November because he's done some good stuff. Do you know what he gets for that? Two prizes. And I will bet he's got one of these still, but not the other. What do you reckon?
I mean, given the era, a bottle of whiskey and some cigs. Something like that.
Not far off. He's got an inscribed plate and a cheque for £250.
Cash is nice, isn't it, for a manager to win? You don't get that anymore, do you? No. They're paid too well.
Here's 250 quid for you. What do you think he spent that on?
I wonder I'm sure I saw David Batty got a Young Eagle award and he gave the cash to charity. So I can't imagine Howard Wilkinson's just put that check in his back pocket. Right? I'll buy McKennigan a slap up dinner.
I bet he's had the rest of his plates inscribed for 250 quid. That's what he's done with that.
All of his plates. You just go around to Wilkinson's house for tea. And you have your chips off something that says underneath Manager of the Month for November 1990.
Great stuff. And we're not done yet with the hunt for players. We're still looking for players. And these two names, obviously, who we know, went on to make great waves in the international game.
I mean, where do you go for top international players? Brazil? Germany?
Oh, I'd probably think maybe Argentina as well.
Good shout. But do you know what? They are expensive.
Spain? France?
No, keep
all right.
Further north.
Well, Andorra.
Get in the North Sea and just keep going. The Faroe Islands. Yeah.
The two players, the team as a whole, performed very well recently against Australia and Denmark. So no wonder we'd want to take a look at their stars, Alan Morcor and Jan Dam.
Jean-Claude Jan Dam, to give him his full title.
He doesn't look quite as strong as his namesake, looking at the photo of them both. It's strange. I assume Alan Morcor to the left have put him in a Leeds top from the previous season. I think it's the only one they had knocking around. He looks cold, bless him.
He can't be cold.
To be fair, we're heading into winter now. Perfect for these conditions. You know, you want all these fancy foreigners from like Brazil and stuff. Can they do it in February in whatever it was, the Goldstone Ground? Yeah, fine. Get some Faroe Islands internationals, windswept Faroe Islands internationals, and they'll be fine because it looks like we've got a cold winter in store in 1990 as well.
Just only get people from the Arctic Circle.
they're the only ones who can withstand Fullerton Park in November.
Get mining that Svalbard team.
They did not play, however, in our reserve game at Coventry, although our Bulgarian international trialist Nikolay Ilyev did in a 2-2 draw. Our goals came from Andy Williams and Simon Grayson, yet to break through, but...
Sorry, Bulgarian?
Yes.
More communist spies?
Yep, almost certainly.
Well, what do we know about the political makeup of the Faroe Islands government? Anything at this point? But they look like nice young lads, so let's wish them well and hope they enjoy their stay in Leeds. Maybe they can go and watch us play our next game at Old Trafford, which has come around quickly.
And queues for the tickets there. Gah. Lots and lots of people wanting tickets for this. And bearing in mind, they started moaning about the allocation they got at Elland Road.
Yeah, there's been a bit of a whinge. The way Elland Road is at this point, we've discussed Fotherby's infamous dads and lads enclosure that you couldn't get anybody into, and the percentages of how much capacity there was. They claimed not to be able to offer anybody more than 1,500 away tickets. And Martin Edwards at Scum was saying that they'd had letters from fans saying you should give Leeds 1,500 tickets just to serve them right. And he's saying, no, we're not going to do any tit-for-tat nonsense. However, they have only offered us 3,000 standing plus 500 seats compared to the 5,500 people that we took to Coventry. And bearing in mind, Scum at Old Trafford for the first time since 1981, I think, is a big deal. That has inevitably led to problems when our new general manager, Alan Roberts, was already despairing about the ticket system. Remember, he's going to drag it into the car park and leave it there.
Well, I'm pleased to say that me and my mum and dad got tickets for this after queuing, so we'll be going to Old Trafford next week.
Did you only buy yourself tickets? Because there were some claims that some people had bought 40.
As far as I'm aware, we weren't touting. I mean, I certainly don't remember my early touting career when I was, let me think about it, 12.
Well, but what about your mum and dad, though?
You'd have been perfect. You couldn't have done time for it.
That's true, yeah. No, I was over the age of criminal responsibility at that point, wasn't I? So probably best to avoid that one. But yeah, this membership scheme, I mean, we know there have been ticket issues with Leeds United's ticket office across the years, and maybe this was one of the early gripes about it.
Yeah, there was a 200-yard queue of people. Some people, Andrew Bowman from Lynham Crescent in Liversidge, had queued overnight to...
Does it really need to publish his street address?
They used to do that. You know, my mate had his full address, including house number, published. I think it was in the Scarborough paper. I can't remember the name of it. But yeah, his full street address with house number when it was like congratulating him for his 10th birthday.
Yeah.
That's what he did. More innocent times.
Andrew, I hope he's listening and I hope he's well. He's 20 years old. He's a production worker. He said that there was about a dozen fans by midnight. They enjoyed five-a-side football, which means two people were left out, which is a bit of a shame, and they enjoyed a sing-song as well. Is it worth it? Of course it is. Manchester United is the biggest game of the season. However, 2,000 people ended up being turned away because the idea was you were allowed to buy one ticket for every member's card you had with you. So they were saying people at the front of the queue had turned up with 40 members' cards and had bought all the tickets, so 2,000 didn't get them, and then they were off to sell them in the pubs. Alan Roberts denied that. He said the most that anyone bought was 17. And
it's absolutely no surprise to me if you remember that the previous club secretary quit earlier in the season because of the fiasco over the computer system.
He just couldn't face it anymore. But Alan Roberts says the most anyone bought was 17, and I told our ticket staff that was too many. So all sorted.
That's fine. That's been sorted then. Right, forward and over the Pennines to Manchester United and Old Trafford on December the 8th. We'll speak to you then.
The Match Ball.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that.
Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.